Today's segment of the McGirt Show is sponsored in part by Credit Repair Education Services, celebrating 17 years of renewing, rebuilding, and restoring consumers' credit all over the nation. Check them out today at youtube.com/TheMcGirt. Their free Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/HGLaw. They're rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Check them out today. You can also call them at area code 910-813-8525 and check them out with their new email capacity at creditservices@outlook.com. Check them out today.
We want to thank everybody for tuning in to the McGirt Show today on blogtalkradio.com/TheMcGirt and youtube.com/TheMcGirt, Instagram, The McGirt Show. We're everywhere, all over social media. We're so happy to have with us all the way from Houston, Texas, Mr. Dre Tay, who is a music artist, and we're so happy to have him with us today. You can catch us each week on blogtalkradio.com/TheMcGirt. And Mr. Dre, we want to thank you for taking time out your schedule to join us on this interview today. Kind of give us the intro to who you are and where you're originally from and how it all got started.
Okay, well, but my family straight out of Houston, Texas. I'm a native of Houston, Texas. I started doing this like with my family. My family had a gospel back in the day, back in the 80s. Early '80s, and me and my brothers and my sister, my mom and dad were musical. That's kind of like where we got our start from, all of us, either musicians or singers. And after doing years with my family, I went on to play guitar and bass for other artists. And then I was hired by the Williams Brothers from Smith, Mississippi, and became a member of them. Been there for 20 years even now. But that's pretty much where it comes from, you know. It's been over 30 years now.
Got it. With that type of background, what was that moment that really inspired you to do what you're doing now, like that aha moment that this is what I want to do? What was it that actually made you say this is me here, as people often say?
That would be around 1982.
Okay.
A music auditorium coliseum in downtown Houston, legendary gospel by the name of the Mighty Crowd and Joy. Usually have the anniversary there, come to town all the time, and my mom and dad would make it their visit, take us every single year when they came through town, and on that particular package or concert was the Mighty Crowd. Isaiah Andrews, the Williams Brothers, the Valentines, different artists, the Wymans, the Clark Sisters. And it was that day when I snuck backstage and went along with my young brother, and we met the Wayne's brothers for the first time, you know. And it was that day that I decided this was something I wanted to do. Matter of fact, I even spoke it that I would be a member. I'm the same Wayne's brothers one day, and lo and behold, that came to pass. So that's what I would say.
Awesome. They always say there's power in the tongue, so you spoke it in existence.
Already, yes, sir.
And I really believe that. When someone goes to hear or they pick up your CD and hear your music, what would you like for them to take away as a whole, as a fan, as a listener? What would you like for them to be able to say they got from your music?
Authentic passion, man, of the message, the soul of me. I want them to hear my happy moments, my sad moments, my healing moments, all the things that really helped me become the man that I am now. You know, that's what I want to portray in the music. And I want long as I continue to come from that heart and soul, then I don't think I have any problems reaching out to the people and getting them to understand where I'm coming from, what I'm born.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Who is, if somebody was to ask, who is Mr. Dre Taylor? Who is that person? Like, if I flew to Texas to hang out with you, what's a typical day hanging out with Mr. Dre Taylor? What is that like?
A typical day with Mr. Dre Taylor. I'm really that guy that a lot of people don't think. A lot of people really take me to be a very serious type guy. But a lot of people really don't understand that I'm a nut.
I got you.
I love to have fun. I love to play games, you know. I love to joke around. When I'm serious, I'm serious. But for the most part, I'm a fun-loving guy. I got good energy. And, you know, ain't no bad vibes here. You know, I love soul. I love to watch movies and watch the game show network all the time. I like shop a lot. And I love to drive. I love driving, you know.
Wow. You shouldn't have said that because I love riding.
Well, I just love to drive. I drive for hours.
Wow. That's all right. You mentioned something about you wanted the fans to hear or know your sad part, your sad side to it. We always do a thing here on the McGirt Show called that moment where we would refer to turning a lemon of life into lemonade. I know we all got many, but if you had that one moment you could share with the listeners to empower, encourage, and pick up that person that feel like giving up, feel like turning around and giving all in, what would be your lemon to the lemon? It was a lemon of life, but you didn't let it stop you, and you turned that lemon into lemonade. What would it be that you could share with the listeners?
One of the most powerful things that I've been through was beginning October, around the end of October of 2004, I was ill. I thought literally life would be totally different for the rest of my life because I had two. I was going to be taken care of, and I wouldn't be able to remember people and remember songs and remember things. I didn't have real use of my left side anymore, and I really thought it was done. But one thing about me, I always had something that's called pipe. I always believe God that He's a healer. That would never change. But at the same time, you can believe God to heal all you want to, but if you don't have the fight in you, get up and try to make it happen, you know, because it's just going to be a little bit tougher for you. So I remember my rehabilitation sessions was 30 minutes. Every day. 30 minutes twice a day. I would tell them I want an hour twice a day. So it was just those moments where I desired to be back on stage. I desired to remember who my children were and their birth and the piece of what I wanted to remember. So I worked and I fought. All this time later, you know, I think I got a better memory than I did back in 2004. So that was one of those make lemonade out of lemon type of situations for me. And that's something that's going I will always carry and always share with people for the rest of my life. I talk to stroke patients now to encourage them that I was a stroke patient and look at me, you know. So, and all the truth about it is everybody don't get to be back to good health again. But, you know, the truth of the matter is God is still able and He's always there. And if you just put that effort into it, you never know what could happen.
You know, I'm so grateful for what you share because I want to get your thoughts on this part. I think me, along with a lot of my listeners, we probably need some bootleg counseling. A lot of people, I grew up in a Christian home, you know, it was church related, should I say. But I think a lot of people fail to realize just because we have, in my opinion, and you give your feedback, you're welcome to give your feedback and your response, but I think what we fail to realize, just because we have faith or we go very heavy and strong in religion, it doesn't exclude us from trials and tribulations. You just proved that. You're like a walking testimony. Kind of share how you, what would you say to the person that, you know, we've seen all this tragedy, especially in the recent current events, and especially people of color from slavery to segregation, and some feel like, Lord, I want a divorce. I'm done. How do you go? I'm not doing no more church. I'm done. I'm not giving no more money to church. What would you say to that person who feels like that they've had it because of the problems and trials?
And I'll be the first to say, you know, firsthand that trying is going to hit everybody. It's going to hit everybody, man. The situation, I've been through it all. You know, I've been through that. Church hurt, job hurt, home hurt, industry.
Shitty end of the deal, and I've had it. That's how I felt, because I'm surrounded by young interns who sort of what I kind of see what they're saying, you know. But like you just said, we have to realize none of us are excluded from trials or tribulations. And you can't run from problems. So you don't realize you gave some good wisdom and advice to the host. And I appreciate that. So, you know, those type of things make a big difference whenever, you know, we're dealing with that sort of thing. And it makes a big difference in our lives. You know, so I know it kind of cut us off. Are you back?
I don't know what happened. It's wrong.
Yeah, because my phone just cut us. I do apologize for that. But I do appreciate your wisdom on Shannon, because I think everybody needs to know that, you know, that's what it's about. That's what life is about. It's going to get hard sometimes, and we got to hang in there. Now, kind of take us into, and I want to thank you, too, because I want to share with the listeners how I came across your music was at the George Floyd funeral. Kind of take us into when you got the news about that whole incident.
Well, a lot of people don't know that I'm a part of the family. You know, my ex-wife is the first cousin of George Floyd, and me and George, I literally knew George before I knew my ex-wife. You know?
Okay.
So, because, you know, we're both the same age. He was in the rap game in Houston, locally in Houston, and I was around the rap game. My brothers were more into it than I was. But I was a young guy. So I used to hang around all the time. And I remember him from back in the day. You know, the Third Ward. I grew up in Ivan Clark, part of Houston, Texas, South Park part. So I knew him. You know, we hadn't really had a lot of words or anything, but we was around each other. We hung around the same crew, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I married his first cousin, we met for the first time and shook hands and had a conversation the first time we met, and that was actually at his brother PJ's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole thing was personal, but I got a call. I actually seen the video the Monday on Memorial Day that night, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Just scrolling, because I know I was scrolling on Facebook or something like that while I was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
That night, and I was scrolling, and I actually seen the video. I saw it, but I really didn't have that mind to really just look at it and gravitate on it, so I just shut it down because I didn't want to go to sleep with that on my brain.
Right.
So Tuesday morning, about 6 a.m., my ex-wife, she called me, and she was crying.
Okay, I remember him.
Sam Cooke pretty much grew up in the gospel arena. He was with the World Famous famous songsters from Chicago. So he was one of the the most common people, lead singers for the songsters. And he journeyed from songsters to rock and roll, R&B pop music. And so I followed his career. He's always been one of my favorite singers, very debonair type of guy, you know. Can sing his bass off. he was saying you're under a bench. And he was very, very loved by everybody, but I followed him, and I followed his career, studied on his career, and I seen how educated he was, how smart, how much of a businessman he was. But he also had a heart, man, and he had a heart for the people. And when he was, I don't know what he was thinking, when he was refused at that Louisiana motel at that time, that wouldn't allow him to come in because of the cuts, and what inspired him to write "A Change Is Gonna Come." But whatever that was that he felt, I feel it now, looking at some of the same stuff that they promised me. I'm looking at some of the same stuff happening now. So it was kind of like I decided to pick up a mantle of sort.
Okay.
Do this song again, basically.
It makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense because when you, and I want to compliment you in all due respect, when they introduce you to do that song, you don't even look like what you shared that you've been through. I would have never known you had been through the things you shared just on the interview, and I know you hadn't shared everything, because if we had time, you could have written probably a whole book, but I would have never known that you had been through those things, because that's how I met you, singing the song at the memorial service, and that's how I reached out to you. So you have no idea. That's just going to show you never know who you touch when you go and do what's up. Like you say, you pick up the mantle.
All right. That's pretty much what my whole state of mind is now. So "A Change Is Gonna Come" is actually coming out Juneteenth. It's crazy how this happened. Juneteenth celebrations and all that stuff like that. I never knew until I was told, well, it's gonna release on June 19th. I was like, that's weird.
It is.
Now it's all coming together now.
All coming together.
It's going to be released on Melvin Williams Entertainment label, and it's going to be available on all of these outlets. You know, thanks. So I'm really looking forward. I have just a feeling. I've been getting some great responses. A lot of people have really been touched by my rendition of the classic hit "A Change Is Gonna Come." And I thank God for it. You know, I never thought in one day I would be all over the world in one day. I'm really grateful for it. Y'all really got a chance to see my heart. It was very tough. Everybody asked me, like, how was the performance? How did you feel? Well, I felt like I was, like, by myself. And, like, it was an out-of-body type of thing. I was very emotional. Because I'm standing there, and right in front of me is a man that I know personally, and he's with family.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a hard feeling for me. So I had to kind of like put the personal side. I had to put it to the side for a minute, and I had to muster up that professionalism. And it lasted the 3 minutes and 35 seconds of that song, but right before the end of that song, I got ready to walk up. I said, "God bless you, Lord," and I felt the personal coming back to the point to where I was going to bust. So I hurried up and leave the stage, you know, because I didn't want to be too emotional in front of people. So, oh man, it was rough. It was hard, but I thank God that I got through it, and I thank God that it blessed so many people. That's what I'm really thankful for. A lot of people got a chance to really feel my heart, and they see the things that's going on TV. They see the racism. They see the all the craziness that's going on, and people pay it up, and they won't change, you know. And I'm just trying to be that guy to just try to empower everybody. Let's get it done, you know.
Well, I don't know if you are aware of this. To kind of confirm what you said, I'm all the way in North Carolina. Your song, when I reached out to you on social media, I had never met you. I've never seen you before. To my knowledge, I've never been in the same room with you. You reached all the way in North Carolina, and now in the interview, my show goes all over the world. We're in third world countries every Saturday at 4:30. So it confirms what you said.
That's great. That's great. I'm just glad to be a part. I'm glad we hooked up. I'm glad got a chance to do this because we all need to come together.
Yeah,
we got to come together, man. It's enough unnecessary chopping down of brothers and sisters, and not to be biased, but my black race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we struggled a lot of years. And I never would have thought. Now, I've been alive 46 years. I never would have thought the things 2020 that I studied in when I was in school that was happening in the 60s.
Right.
I never thought I'd see stuff like that, but to see it with our own eyes, to see a black man die at the hands of a police officer. In front of the world.
The world.
In front of the world, man. It wasn't like black video, hidden video. We sit there and we seen George die in front of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even the other young man that just was killed in Atlanta, it's just crazy. It don't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so change got to come, man. We got to get some changing going on here.
And I want to give you a chance to share with our listeners as time closes. We always, time go by fast and you're having a good time. How can people get your CD on social media, and how can they reach out to you to support your music and what you're doing? Share everything you want to share on how they can book you, how they can reach out to you for your music, all of that.
Okay, well, you can reach me on social media networks, on social media platforms. Great T. Instagram is just Great T. JUSTRAYT. And you can reach me at my Facebook channels. Facebook platform, just Great. Or you can reach me on music. I'm booking it and being reached out to people, really, at jdkproductions@gmail.com, or you can read an associate, she's on, you can just Google her up, and you can find, because I don't have all the play that I need to have, but they'll be able to give you all the necessary instructions and things that you need. April Ridley's booking contact is 757-338-0462. To make it right, it's Meet for Media Inquiries. You can reach out to JDK Media Group 29@gmail.com. You can reach out to JDK Production. So those are the ways you can get in touch with the people that can get in touch with me, and we'd be glad to come and service you, and I'd be honored, you know, to share my gift with anybody who wants it.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Gray, it's been an honor to have you on the show. I'm grateful for how we met, and here's the crazy part about it. I'm a 4th of July baby. I turned 49 the 4th of July, and it's weird how, well, it's weird to us, may not be weird to other the spirits above, but here all this is coming together, and now your interview goes all over the world, and we're just happy that you took time out your schedule to be a part of the show. You're welcome back at the McGirt Show anytime.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. It's been all mine.
And we want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in today. You can reach us each week on blogtalkradio.com, the McGirt, area code 619-928-0898. You can email us at the McGirt Show at outlook.com. And thank you all for tuning in.